You may be seated. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 34. I didn't know I was going to go here, but this is what the Holy Ghost is leading. And you want us to follow the Holy Ghost, right? That I heard in my spirit, it's time to cross over. It's time to go to the other side. It's time to move on in to what God said for the church to do. He's enabled us, He's empowered us, and we're going forward. We can sit and we can wait. Remember, the Holy Ghost talked to us about that. We got the Holy Ghost inside of us. I think it might have been the first service. And we're waiting for something to come future when we really have the Holy Ghost inside of us. And there's another part to that message. But He's inside of us. And all we've got to do is stir up the gift of God that's already there. But the Holy Ghost began to, He's talked to me about this in times past. And I preached on it somewhat along these lines. But I basically just kind of put it on the shelf. Because I'd preached it, I don't know, several years ago. And it just seemed like that, it wasn't working. But I had revelation of it. But tonight, the Lord said to me right here during praise and worship, He said, turn back. He said, now it's time. It's time to move in to what I have said. It's time for my people to move in to what I said for the church. Because He's coming back for what kind of church? A glorious church. A church that's ruling and reigning in the power and the anointing of God on this earth. A church that's dominating and controlling the devil. I'm not saying controlling every human being, but controlling the devil and signs and miracles and wonders and all the gifts of the Spirit in operation and all the fivefold ministry gifts. Ladies and gentlemen, one thing that we're sadly lacking in the body of Christ, we're lacking this, is so great of a need that we must have the true apostle, the true prophet, the true evangelists, the true pastors, and we've got a lot of pastors, thank God for that. We need them. They're going to be the forefront. And teachers to come forth, as well as the ministry of helps. The ministry of helps is an anointed office. I have stood in that office. I believe that that anointing was on me when I met Jesus for the first time at camp meeting. I believe that's the only reason, because I was anointed to be in that office, the ministry of helps. The Lord alerted me that man was up to no good. And I was operating in that anointing. So that ministry of helps is an anointing from God. And if you'll learn to tap into that anointing, then it'll put you over in what you got to do. But sometimes when people are anointed in the ministry of helps to help someone else, sometimes if you don't watch it, the devil will come along and get people lifted up in pride. And then they'll think that they know more than the ones that they're serving and helping, and they want to try to tell them what to do. And if then they don't tell them what to do, they want to talk about them behind their back and run them down and talk about how no good they are. Well, that's just setting you up for a fall. So you don't want to do that, but you can take that anointing and you can move forward in everything God has. So in your prayer time on Monday, pray for the apostle. On Tuesday, remember, pray for the prophets to come forth. I'm not talking about goofy things. See, we've seen so much goofy stuff that we have actually stopped the real from coming forward. But we've got to have, but the 5 days of the week, pray for the fivefold ministry. Start at the apostle and go down. I'm not saying you got to pray all day, but pray for them. We will never have the gifts of the Spirit in their fullness until we have the fivefold ministry gifts in their fullness with the office of ministry of helps standing where they should. Because every ministry office is what Brother Hagin called them. A friend of mine calls them ascension gifts, but they're in a kind of a different world. But, I can see it. When Jesus ascended on high, He gave gifts unto men. So He calls them ascension gifts with the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. you know, in the circles, that particular circle that I go in and minister to. But we need all of the ministry gifts, because that is when we're going to come into the place in the body of Christ that we need to be, because we're going to be perfected through the fivefold ministry offices. And if you can be perfected without the fivefold ministry office, the offices in operation, and you receiving from them on some level, you understand, on some level, and receive impartations, then you're never going to be perfected. And if you can, the Bible's not true. Because the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, you've got to have these to come into perfection. Because each one of them carries a specific anointing to impart to you. Because it's not just words. Words are very, very, very important to what's said, because it has to be doctrinally sound and biblically true. But at the same time, there is an anointing, because we are spirit beings and we have the Holy Ghost. And there are certain anointings that you'll never receive unless you receive it from that ministry gift or ministry office. The reason I'm standing where I'm at today is because I received something from somebody else that was anointed. The Lord said, you go here, you sit here, you wait, you train, you be taught. And that doesn't mean that I've arrived. But I know that I wouldn't be here unless I would have been in the right place at the right time. And sometimes you have to fight devils to get there. But it's time for us to move on into what God has for us. It's time for the church. And listen, I'm not talking about working something in the flesh. I believe I saw in the Spirit that God's going to put this thing over. I said, the Lord's going to put this thing over. I said, the Lord is big enough to put this thing over. And he's going to make it come to pass, and there's nothing that can stop him. There's no devil that's going to stop him. And he's always got a remnant of his people that's going to obey him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's time to cross over. It's time to go to the other side. It's time for us to move on in. It's time for us to press in. And yes, it's going to take some crucifying the flesh. It's going to take some saying no to the flesh and yes to God. But I'm here to tell you what I've discovered in my life is once you break through that veil of the flesh and get into what, spiritually speaking, the Holy of Holies, you're not going to want to leave anyway. Your flesh is going to kick and scream before you get there. But once you get there, you're going to say, my Lord, I wish I'd been here all the time. And you're not going to want to leave. But I remember being in a hotel room downtown Tulsa with Dr. Kenneth Egan. I'm sitting across the room, and he's over there with the wheels in the middle of the wheels, you know. And I was invited to be there too, but I just sat across the room because you've heard my story about intimidation and insecurity. It was just actually a spirit of fear. And I'm sitting there basically by myself in a chair in this hotel suite, and they had all these finger foods. What is finger foods? That's where you bite your finger trying to find the stuff. You know what I mean? You can't plow a mule a half a row on that stuff. I don't know. You know, it's them city boys might live off of it, but us country boys, we need a little bit more than that, than them fingers food, bite your fingers trying to find it stuff. So they had all that highfalutin stuff, and I think they even had an eye sculpture setting up in that thing. I don't know. Some kind of bird or something or other. I don't know what it was. And I was sitting over there, and I'm taking in all this stuff, and suddenly somebody sitting on an empty chair to my left put their right arm around my shoulder. And I turned and looked to see who it was, and it was Dad Hagin. And of course, immediately, just like you, I started deleting files. You know what I mean? I pull that up for your computer wizards. I'm deleting files. I'm pleading the blood. Hey, what I mean? I'm deleting the files. Oh, my God, get that out. Because he said when he was under the anointing, yeah. You know what I mean? I don't mean it. And he touched somebody that he could know things about him supernaturally. And some things I didn't want him to know. I didn't know he was a-coming. I'd have cleaned up a long time before he got there. You know what I mean? But he said this, because I'm turned startled. Of course, everybody else hushed in the room, because he was just sitting talking. I didn't even know he got up from where he was at. And so everybody hushed and got quiet. He said, Brother Randy. I said, yes, Dad, my voice is quivering. He said, the Holy Ghost has been endeavoring to move you into an office that you hadn't stepped into because you don't understand it. He said, but I'm about to talk to you about it. I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I was trying to think, what in the world is he talking about? Oh, God, what have I done? Did I tear something up at camp meeting? I didn't see Jesus again. You know, what? And then he began to talk to me. And he sat there for about an hour. So I said all that to say this, and I'm not going into all he said or nothing like that. But I received an impartation that changed my life from that day. But also, this is what I've discovered. You can be anointed and waste the anointing on your life. You've got to give yourself to what God gave you. You've got to stir up that gift. So it's time for us to stir up. I say us, all of us have been equipped in a measure to stand specifically in a place that God has for us. You say, well, Brother Randy, I don't know what God has called me to do. Well, don't go anywhere until you know what He's called you to do. How are you going to find out what He's called you to do? You're going to get down on your knees and you're going to pray and you're going to seek God. Or you may stand and pray. You may sit and pray. You may lay down and pray. But you're going to pray till you hear from heaven. When I graduated from Rhema in 1987, we moved back to Columbus, Georgia. I knew I was called into the ministry, but I didn't know what. I started a home repair business where I could go back and forth, and I would preach, and doors would open periodically. And we was helping my wife's daddy, Reverend J.E. Thornton, Joseph Eugene Thornton, and he was our pastor for many years. And we was helping him and assisting him. But I was driving my old work truck back and forth to work up to Atlanta from Columbus, Georgia, and that's 100 miles one way to one job, you know. And I would get riding in that truck and get quiet, you know. And then suddenly the Spirit of God would begin to deal with my spirit. It wasn't out of my mind, it was out of my spirit. And suddenly in my spirit it would flow up, and I knew, just like, you're supposed to be doing something else. You need to be doing something else. You need to be obeying me. You need to obey what I called you to do. I sent you to that Bible school to train you. That didn't mean, you know, that I was fully mature when I graduated. That would be the laugh of the year for me to be fully mature. They're still working on me. Still working on me. Still working on me. And I still got a long ways to go. But one day, I got like old Popeye, remember? The sailor man, I done stands it till I can't stands it no more. And I said that I'm going to pray today on a Friday, because it was raining, the work I had to do was outside. I'm going to pray today till I hear from heaven or die one. Because that's how bumfuzzled I was about all this. That's why we called it old time Pentecost, burdened about it. You know, they kind of took that word away from us over in the Word of Faith circles. But we used to call it getting a burden to prayer. I was just burdened about it. Because you're supposed to be doing something else. Been something else. You know what I'm talking about? Burden. You remember that? But anyway, burden. You have this burden of prayer, they call it. In other words, it's just something that comes on you, this knowing. And so I was in our little home, a shotgun home, one of the oldest houses in Columbus, Georgia at the time. My wife is at work. And I put my head down on a wooden floor. When you think of a wooden floor, you're thinking of this polished, wooden, finished floor. But this was just boards stuck together and somebody painted them with some good paint. You know what I mean? And Patty had a throw rug down there, so I made that my magic rug. And I got down there and I said, I'm going to stay down here till I hear from heaven. And I began to pray about what God wanted me to do. I prayed over and over. I prayed for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes, prayed over into an hour, and it just seemed like I was wasting my time, seemed like I was getting nowhere, but I was determined. You got to be determined in prayer. I was determined, and I'm going to pray. And I got into about 2 to 2.5 hours, and suddenly all I can say is, in type and shadow, I walked into the Holy of Holies. And I'm sure it was right there all the time, but I got my senses quiet, I got my mind quiet, and there was Jesus right there. I don't mean I saw Him, because I didn't, but there was Jesus. And I heard these words. He said, you're asking me about what I've been wanting you to do. He said, the year of 1988 will be a year of new beginnings for you. This was the fall of 1987. It'll be a year of new beginnings for you. You'll leave everything that you've known in the past behind. He said, you'll take your company contract that you got. He said, I want you to hire this man to work for you. Train him to do this job. It was a specific specialty type job. He said, train him to do your job, sew the contract, sew your business in him for future needs of your ministry. And he said, walk out and go full time into the traveling ministry and go and tell people what I have done in your life. When he's told me that, I begin to weep and cry and squall. You know, squalling is different than crying. Crying, you can get your breath. Squalling, you get your breath every now and then. You know what I mean? I was just squalling. And then when I got to where I could talk, and I said, Lord, how am I going to do this? Don't nobody know who I am. I said, how's it going to all happen? And just as clear, I heard these words. He said, I've appointed Kennedy Hagin to help you. Well, you better tell him. I said, because when I left Rhema, he told us he wouldn't recommend nobody else for the ministry. Do y'all remember that? Because he had recommended people and they went out and made shipwreck and made a bad name out of Rhema and him because he had sent them out there. Don't come to me for no recommendation. That's what he said. Don't come. I said, Lord, he said he ain't recommended nobody and don't come to him for no recommendation. He's done recommended too many scallywags. And he said, he ain't gonna recommend. It's ruining his name. He said, I've appointed Kenneth Hagin to help you. Write him a letter and tell him what I have told you. I said, I'm not going to do that. I am not going to do that. He said, now you don't have to say it just that way. He said, but tell him what I've told you to do and let him do the rest. I said, now, Lord, you sure about this? Yes. So the anointing was on me. I mean, I was anointed. Have you ever been anointed to write a letter? I was anointed to write a letter. I mean, I was so bold in that letter, my God. I mean, that Georgia chicken scratching, my God, I was a putting her down. I mean, I look at them, a little fold of that thing, that letter, and put that stamp on there, that first class stamp, and there was one of them mailboxes not far from the house, one of them red and blue ones, you know, on the side of the road. You pull that thing down and you drop it in there. Man, under the anointing of God, I got in my vehicle, an old truck, you know, and I drove down there to that thing and I got out and I opened that thing and I throwed it in the mailbox in the name of Jesus. I turned and I got back in the truck and the anointing lifted. I said, oh my God, what have I done? What have I done? Oh God, oh God. I would write back and I seen if I could get in that mailbox. Then I read about that fine or imprisonment for breaking in that thing, and I'd done been that way, so I didn't want to go that way no more. But I wanted to get that letter out of there. Oh my God, because when the anointing lifts, that's when you got to walk by faith and not by sight. And sometimes we don't want to do that. But I knew that that was part of me crossing over. To cross over that way. See, there's many journeys in life and there's many crossroads in life that you're going to come to. There's many Jordans in life. But you've got to be determined that I'm going to cross over. That was a crossover point for me. That launched me in a place. And I remember when my wife got home. You know, I was sitting there and she said, how did your day go? I said, dang, fine. I couldn't wait to tell her. I said, honey, I said, I was praying today. And I said, the Lord told me, and she knew I prayed, because back then when we first got married, we would sit down to eat. She can tell you, I'm not making this up. We would sit down to eat, and she's a great cook. You know what I mean? You pretty well tell that, so it's not my fault. I can tell you right now. But her mama was a good cook, and she's a good cook, and that's kind of what she likes to cook. I mean, she just loves to cook, and she can hang the meat on you if you just hang around long enough. You know what I mean? And we would sit down to eat, and the next thing I'd know, and we'd pray, you know, and I would hear dishes a-clanging in the sink, and she's up washing her dishes, and I ain't even got through praying yet. I done got an intercession lost in the Spirit. Woo! But I've been praying for hours, she'll tell you, that's the truth. And so when I told her I was praying today, and I said, the Lord told me what we're to do, and told me that we're to go out in the full-time traveling ministry. And I said, the Lord told me to write Dad Hagin a letter. And I put it in the mailbox. She said, what did you say? And I told her, she said, oh, my Lord, can you get it back? She is like me. Oh, my God. Oh, you better not, because she heard what he said to us too. Can you get it back? But it took faith. Under the anointing, it was a crossover in our life. It was a time and period. And then another crossover is when he told us to go to Rimi. Remember? Was you here when I talked about building the U-Haul or the rider that would make them proud? Wonder they didn't sue us for patent rights after my daddy built the old 3/4-ton picking up truck and we moved out there. But that was a crossover point. Many of you have had crossovers in your life. You've had Jordans in your life, so to speak, Jordan River experiences in your life, because God has shown you something, but it takes faith to cross over. Ladies and gentlemen, we're at a place right now that we in the body of Christ, and especially you that's in this room right now, God is calling you to cross over, and yes, I'm prophesying to you. You're going to step into a place in the Spirit that you haven't been before. And it's not going to be ankle deep. It's not going to be knee deep. And it's not going to be waist deep. It's going to swallow you up in the anointing of God. And you're going to move into a place that you hadn't been before. And I'm going with you. Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. God has shown us things. God has shown you things. It is time for us to cross over. Time to move in. Where does this word come from? It comes from the Holy Ghost tonight. I didn't plan this at all. God did. Deuteronomy 34 verse 1 says, "And Moses went up from the plains of Moab and to the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all of Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim, and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah, unto the utmost sea. And and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho." In fact, where he was at, he was looking right down on Jericho. I've been over in this area, visiting that part of the world. It says, "The city of palm trees unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, said, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither." Notice here, he said, this is the land which I swore to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, saying, I will give it to thy seed. Ladies and gentlemen, I know this is Old Testament. I know that this is something that's back there, but there's a type and shadow for the New Testament. God has given us a land in the Spirit. This was a natural, physical land, but there is a spiritual land. There is a spiritual Canaan, and we have got to cross over into this place under the anointing of God like we have never seen or known, because Jesus is coming soon, and there's a work that must be done. There's a work that must be accomplished, and there's captives that must be set free in this day and time that we live in. But God has designated a place for the church in the Spirit, just like he designated a land for his people in the natural physical world. Well, there's a place in the spiritual world, and that's where God is calling me to. That's where God is calling you to, and that's why you're here right now, because there's a call, a deep, deep call inside of you, and you know God is calling you across the Jordan. He's calling you into this place. He's calling you to march through Jericho. He's calling you to march into this Canaan land here on this earth in the realm of the Spirit and accomplish his will and plan, and there's no devil or demon that's going to stop us. We're going in. So just like there was a physical land, there's a spiritual land, ladies and gentlemen. There's a hunger in your hearts. Everybody that's been seeking God, you know it. You know you're not satisfied. You know that there's something. I know the Keatons, they came. Well, how long was y'all over there? Almost 18 years in a foreign country. And God sent them back here to America and told them to pray and seek God for revival. They're praying, they're interceding, they're seeking God, they're having prayer during the week with other people. We had lunch with them today. And they was telling us about some of these things that they're doing, and they're seeking God. And of course, they travel, you know, and Mrs. Keaton used to be Pastor Hagin's secretary. Brother Larry there, her husband, got to chasing her somehow or another. I don't know how in the world he caught her. My God, we need to pray for her a little more. I don't know. But anyway, and she was also an instructor. In fact, she taught some of us right here. And one of the classes she taught us was Bible interpretations. But I just had the Lord close her ears when I'm talking. Well, she can't hear all them words that I'm trying to pronounce and all this stuff. But I'm here to tell you, there's a place that God has called us to. He called our dear brother and sister right here. Mr. Marvin Yoder and Mrs. Leah Yoder from the Amish community come from that place, and he called them on a journey. And there was a Jordan that they had to cross over. Just like there was a Jordan for all of them to cross over. There was a Jordan that they had to break away. They had to be ostracized from their own families to go on with the plan of God. And they said, we're willing to pay the price. Not because they were against their family, but they love God more. You need to love your family, but you got to love God more. And of course, they have a relationship with their family today, but at that time, certainly they did not understand. Their family could not understand being in the Amish community. You know, and I've met some of their kinfolks. At least you took me out, I think it was some of your kinfolks out there, the Amish people. You know, and the way they live their life. I can tell you this, they've got a dedication and a consecration, but they call them out. But I'm here to tell you where he called you from. You're just now about to begun. You're just about to cross over. Remember the Holy Ghost said that the other night, something first service. But they're going to cross over. We're going to cross over. We're moving into some things in the spirit, and we've been like up against a wall. We've been up against a place, and it seemed like we couldn't go, but we're going now because the anointing is with us. And those of you that are here tonight, you know that in your heart, in your spirit, you're crying out for this, and we're going to see it with our eyes, and we're going to hear it with our ears. But notice, Moses saw a natural land, physical land. Ladies and gentlemen, you can go back to the days of Smith Wigglesworth, Brother Parham, Brother Seymour, Brother Summerall, Brother Hagin, Brother Graham, you know, any of them you want to talk about. All of those people saw a day that they looked forward to. They saw a time in the Spirit. They saw a place. In fact, Smith Wigglesworth told Brother Summerall about the last day move of God. And do you know what that last day move of God would be? It's written right there, Word and Spirit. Smith Wigglesworth said, prophesied to Dr. Summerall, when you see the Word and Spirit come together, he said, that's the last move, and then Jesus will come. That's where we're at, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to cross over. We're going to move over. There may be a natural analogy a little bit to this tonight, but I'm telling you, there's a spiritual analogy. Moses saw the promised land. The old timers saw the promised land. And some of you sitting right here tonight, from the front row to the back row, have seen this promised land in the Spirit. You've got glimpses of it in the Spirit. In fact, I can remember Dad Hagin. I remember this. It's just like written in my spirit. Dad Hagin down in the Pastor Stan Moore's church in North Miami Beach, Florida. I was down there and on a Tuesday night, and I remember under a strong anointing, he began to take his coat off. And you remember the platform up there is real high. You know, it's pretty high up. He come down them steps. And as he was coming down, he began to prophesy. And this is what he said. He said, it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. I can see it out there. He said, it's coming. I can see it out there. Oh, it's coming. I can see it out there. He said, it's a mighty deluge of God's Spirit, a mighty deluge of God's power. It's a mighty deluge of God's anointing. Ladies and gentlemen, he told us about it. He saw it with his spiritual eyes. But you and I are the generation that will move into this that they saw about. Not just Brother Hagin, but many other old timers. Men and women of God saw these days and saw this time, and it's time that we move on in. It's time that we press on in. It's time that we dig on in further in the Spirit, and we will. And nothing will stop us. So Moses saw it, and he realized what he had saw. And the Lord said, I have caused thee. The Lord said, this is the land that I've shown you. Verse 4. And the latter part of that verse said, I've caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. We're not getting into that. Verse 5, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him, the Lord did, in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his grave or sepulture unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, The son of Nun, which was the second generation that had served him and followed after him, was full of the spirit of wisdom. Why? He had received an impartation because he submitted to the anointing that was on Moses' life. You can't despise anointings that God has for you and go on. For Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 10, it says, there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. But notice, it says here in the Bible that Moses went up in verse number 1 from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho. In other words, he climbed up there by himself, 120 years old. I don't share this often, but I'm going to share this tonight because it fits in. In the camp meeting of July of 2003 with Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin, if you were there, you'll recall this. Who was at that camp meeting? I see hands here, hands there. I was at this camp meeting. I was at this camp meeting also, and I remember I witnessed something that I had never witnessed before. Now, let me make a disclaimer. I'm not saying it had never happened before, but I had never seen it in the history of me going to camp meeting since the year of 1987. But Dad Hagin was ministering under a strong anointing, and there were two angels that came in, Michael Leedy and Micah Neeney, came into the service. And of course, I didn't see them. Patty, my wife, would see them every now and then at different times. I'm not saying that service, but she's seen them in different places. But I had never seen them. And under that anointing, I watched Dad Hagin. He walked to the left. If you're the platform's behind him, he walked to his left. And that's where usually they would set the ministers. You know, a lot of the ministers and everything would set on that side. And when he got over there, normally he would just minister to somebody or just preach or teach and just walk back and forth. But this time it was different. It looked like he was with a purpose. And the Lord just said in my spirit, pay attention. And I thought, well, what? What's going to happen here? Brother Hagin put his foot up, his left foot, on the first step. It had a rail that goes up this auditorium, and it went up. It was in a, what kind of auditorium you call them things? Anywhere they could play basketball down on the floor, you know what I mean? So you got to climb up it. And then it had a rail in the middle, and it had stairs and steps on both sides with a rail, handheld rail. So he took that rail, put his left foot up on that thing, and pulled himself on the first step. And I thought, what's he doing? Surely he's just going to talk to somebody right here in this first row. Then he took another step. Does anybody remember this? Then he took another step. And him being as elderly as he was, you could tell he was laboring. And of course, me being trained good by Pastor Timothy Horton and Pastor David Hodges, as an usher, I'm going to help Daddy Hagin. I'm going to help him. And the Lord said to me, leave him alone. I wasn't an usher, you know, but I don't think that would shock me because they knew me. But I was going to help him. He said he's got to make this journey by himself. Just as my servant Moses made the journey to Nebo and Pisgah, he's got to make this journey. He said, this will turn out to you to be a spiritual analogy of a natural occurrence. And I thought, oh God, let's go. So he kept climbing until he got about halfway up. You know, in the arena, halfway up, there's a walkway all the way around it. But he got up there to that about midways, not quite, and he sat down. You remember that? Was you there? You remember that? And then he began to look. He just put his hands in his lap. He began to look. I said, Lord, what's he doing? Well, because normally he'd be up there ministering to people and prophesying to people, but he's sitting there looking. And he said, son, he's climbed Mount Pisgah. And he's climbed Mount Nebo for the last time. My wife had told me, he's going home, son. Honey, he's going home. He's going home. I said, don't tell me that. I'm going to keep him here. He's going home. He said, he's climbed it. He said he had to climb there by himself. I said, Lord, what's he doing? He said, he's seeing that promised land. He's seeing into the future. He knows he'll not be back here again. And he said, but he's going to send you boys and girls to take this. And he's seeing the promised land. Just like Moses, he saw it with his eyes, but he didn't possess it himself. Dad Hagin saw it with his spiritual eyes, but he didn't possess it himself. You know, Pastor Judy down here on the end, she's a prophetess. She sees some of these things. She sees into the Spirit. She sees things like this too. You never know because you don't go around telling everybody. We talk privately. But there are things, ladies and gentlemen, that God is about to open our eyes to see. Because to go in, you got to see it. You got to know it. It's not good enough for my, you know, fathers and mothers in the Lord back yonder to have seen it. I got to see it. The Lord is about to give you a glimpse of your Canaan. I said, God is about to give you a glimpse of your Canaan. Well, we got on. Of course, he did pass away. You know, in September, you know, I was with him up at his last meeting because the Lord told me to be there. And then when he passed away, of course, the buzz that was going on was this. Who is the next Kenneth E. Hagin? Who's the next one? Who's the anointing going to come on of Kenneth E. Hagin? Who's going to receive the mantle of Kenneth E. Hagin? And it was buzzed around, you know, and everybody said, well, it's going to be him. And somebody's going to sort of be him. It's going to be him. And of course, people would say to me, who do you think? I said, well, I don't know because I didn't know, you know. I had no idea. But sitting in his funeral, how many was there at the funeral? Sitting in his funeral, I began to ask the Lord the questions. I said, Lord, I got some questions. I said, people are asking, you know, who is the mantle going to come on? Who's going to be one that stands where he stood, you know, in the church? Who's going to be that? And the Lord said, oh, my word will answer that for you. Anything that God tells you is going to be in the Bible. I said, in some form. And I said, Lord, what does it say? He said in Deuteronomy 34, verse 10, he said, this will answer your question. He said, and there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. He said, there's not going to be another one just like him. And the question I had is the same question you got. Why not? This is what the Lord told me in my spirit. I'm human and can miss it. Judge it. He said, because it's not necessary. He said, I have given the call. I have gave the impartation. And Kenneth E. Hagin knew the Lord face to face. As far as I know, you know, and I don't know everybody on the planet, Jesus sat down and talked to Brother Hagin face to face more than any other human being that I know of. I don't know about you. More than any human being. But he knew the Lord face to face. Now let's say this way. That doesn't mean that people cannot have visitations of the Lord. I'm not saying that. And that doesn't mean there's not going to be prophets standing at the forefront of the prophet's ministry. But the Lord dissolved and resolved that question for me right there in his funeral, that there will not be one just like him. So if there's not going to be one just like him, then what do we do? He said, it's time for you, talking about all of us, the church world, to get up and do what's already been prophesied, not just by Dad Hagin, but by all the other prophets and all the other ministries and all the other people that saw this promised land, and it's time to go over into the promised land. Are you ready to go? Joshua chapter 1, verse number 1 says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. I wonder if Joshua knew that or not. You reckon God was just trying to be funny? They'd been mourning for him for 30 days. But he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. In other words, you can't change anything that's occurred. That was my will. That was my plan. That's what he's saying right here. He's not despising Moses. He's not despising Moses' calling. Because Moses, and if he did not follow what God had taught Moses, Joshua was not going to be able to go into the promised land. But he said, Moses, my servant is dead. What is he doing? He's declaring it's time to do something else. You can set and you can be concerned about those that have gone on. And you can complain that they're not here anymore. And you can say, what are we going to do now? Well, this is what we're going to do now. Jesus Christ is still alive. And God is still alive. And Jesus has not fell off the throne. And the Holy Ghost is still in manifestation. And we're going to pick right up where they left off. And we're going to run into the promised land. That's what we're going to do. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, what? Arise and go. Get up and go. It's time to do what? Go. It's time for us to cross over. It's time for us to move in to the place in the Spirit. Over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. And he goes on and tells them that just like he was with Moses, he's going to be with them. He would not forsake you and not to fail him. Verse 7, look at this carefully. It says, only be thou strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe to do, now look at this carefully, to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. He didn't say, Joshua, write a new book. He didn't say, Joshua, forget what you was taught. He didn't say, Joshua, despise the days of what he put into you and what he taught you. He said, God told Joshua. He told him. He gave him a command. He said, observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Listen to your mothers and fathers in the faith. Listen to them. And he said, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. Why? That thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. So if Joshua was going to prosper, and we like to quote verse 8, but notice it was conditional on verse 7. Verse 8 is conditional promise based on verse 7. But he said, don't depart from the law of Moses, my servant commanded thee. In other words, Moses received revelation from God, and he gave that revelation. It wasn't Moses' revelation. You say, was Moses absolutely perfect? Well, we know that we're looking back at Moses. You know, he made a few mistakes in his life, but God still used him. Well, I would say, would Kenneth Hagin ever make any mistake? Well, I'm not talking any disparaging to him at all or about him at all, but, you know, ask him. He might have said he did. I've seen him down behind the pulpit, and I know it's not popular, and it sure don't go with the emergent church, and I've seen him kneeling down behind the pulpit saying, oh, God, forgive me. Lord, I repent. Lord, I didn't realize that. Lord, I'm sorry. So he admitted that he made mistakes, but we can't throw him away. You know what I mean? We can't do that. Because if I'm going forward, then I've got to connect to the anointing that God gave me. And that don't mean I camp out there. It don't mean you camp out there. But ladies and gentlemen, there is a generation that has arisen today that decides that they're going to write a new book when it comes to spiritual things. And they're going to do it their way and not God's way and not the way our mothers and fathers in the faith taught us. And I'll tell you what it is, because Dad Hagin can't be here tonight. I'm going to stand in by proxy for him. It's a bunch of bunk, junk, and hogwash. And you'll never get to where you want to go until you back up and you hook up what we were taught and what we were trained in the name of Jesus. And then the Holy Ghost is going to come on you and turn you every which way but loose. We cannot despise our past and expect to go forward in our future. We can't. But we've got a group of people today that absolutely despise where we came from. Despise it. Won't listen, won't pay attention. Said he was a washed up old fogey. He didn't know what he was talking about. I'm telling you, we don't worship a man. We don't worship anybody but our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We don't make idols out of anybody or anything. We worship Jesus Christ and we serve him. But Kenneth E. Hagin stood at the forefront of the prophet's ministry. And his ministry was and is the forerunner of the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And ladies, if you want a free permanent wave for the rest of your life, you get that series back there I got called Kenneth Irwin Hagin, Forerunner of the Second Coming of Jesus, and that will maybe even change your hair color. But it's got chapter and verse, and Jesus Christ appeared to him, and if he was not and his ministry was not, then he's the biggest liar that ever hit planet Earth.
But I was there in 2001 when he declared out of his mouth publicly for the first time at camp meeting, July 2001. And he'd always told the story about walking down there, his mama walking down the road in front of Aunt Mary's house. And then he would never tell the whole thing. And he told us that night in that meeting why he never told the whole thing. He said, because this ministry, I determined and purposed in my heart that it would not be built on personalities. And it would not be built on sensationalism or just miracle seekers. But it would be built upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He told us all, if you'll remember, build your ministry on the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Don't build it on your personality or persona or what you got and what kind of gift you got. You build it on Jesus, because everything else is going to fall and everything else is sinking sand. But on Christ, the solid rock, you're going to stand. I don't know exactly where that series is, but it's probably wrapped up in some of that back there, right? Some of that stuff that I got. Chris says it is. But it's back there. Maybe on some of the MP3. If you don't, you can get it right off our website. But why did you preach that? Because the Lord told me to. But his ministry, not just him, but his ministry was a forerunner of the second coming of Jesus. Which means everybody that submitted to that is part of that forerunning of the second coming of Jesus. This is supposed to usher in the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I personally believe, I'm human and I can miss it. I'm not necessarily dogmatic about it or pupmatic about it. But I believe this. That there'll be somebody alive on planet Earth that had come from that ministry when the second coming of Jesus takes place. Now, where was we at? The old time saint, Miss Patty, who was that told us that she was going to be alive? It was over in Tulsa. No, it was another lady that came. And she said that the Lord told her. You was over there. But anyway, she told us, she said, the Lord told me, and I think she was 80-something years old. She said, from the time that I was a little girl, she said, the Lord told me, yeah, Charlotte's mama. You know, you heard of Pat's mama? This is Charlotte's mama. Well, if you hadn't been around Brother Hagin, you might not know about Pat's mama. Tony, his mother-in-law. She said she's 80-something years old. She said to us, I mean without batting an eye. She said, the Lord showed me I'll be alive on this earth when the rapture takes place. Now, I was looking at her earth suit. You know what I mean? I mean, not being critical or nothing, but just looking at her earth suit. And I can tell you got a whole lot better conditioned earth suit than she did. And if she's going to be alive, you got a lot of hope. I can tell you right now. So don't give up. Did she said, I'm going to, because I've heard other people, you know, that said they were going to be there, and I'm not saying one way or the other. It's going to happen. But I believe one of these days the trumpet's going to sound and we're going to leave this ground. But we got to move into what God said do. But what the enemy is trying to do in the church today is move us away from the roots and the foundation that we're to build upon. And if he can move us off that foundation and we try to lay another foundation, it's going to collapse because it's not God's foundation. It's not. And again, we don't worship man. We don't worship anybody. We worship the Lord Jesus Christ, and we put him first. But I saw that, and we are to go over and cross over into this place that God has for us. He told Joshua here, he told him to obey the teachings of his elders. And of course, as Joshua obeyed the teachings of his elders, guess what happened? Then God gave him his own ministry. And he began to say things and do things. So how in the world are we going to cross over? I thought you would never get here. But we're getting there, right here. In Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3, verse 1. And Joshua rose early in the morning. Joshua rose early in the morning. Joshua rose early in the morning. What does that mean to you? This is what it means to you. God did not have to wake Joshua up and say, Joshua, would you please get out of bed and do my will? Would you please get up? I know them covers are snuggly.
and all wrapped up, and it may be cold outside. No, God didn't have to go beg Joshua to get out of bed. It said Joshua rose early in the morning. So what does that mean to you and me? We can't wait for God to come get us. He expects us to get up and get going. He says, where am I going? You're going to walk by faith and not by sight. But you got to get up first. You got to make a decision that there's more than what I got. If you're satisfied with what you have, you'll never go further in God. If you don't see that there is more, you won't go for more. In fact, Reverend Smith Wigglesworth, what did he say it? He said it like this. If you are today where you was yesterday in God, you are backslid. He's pretty bold, you know what I mean? You're backslid. We thought we'd just hang it on. You know, we make it one more day. But he said we should be constantly moving forward. So notice here, Joshua rose early. God didn't have to wake him up and ask him, beg him to do his will. He was ready to do it. He was willing to do it. He was after it. Are you willing? Are you ready? Do you want to get up? Do you want to get going? Do you want to cross the Jordan? And they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. They came up to the Jordan, and I believe there at this time they would be what on the east side of Jordan, and they had to cross the Jordan River headed west to go over into Jericho. Where they were camped out was underneath the mountain of Nebo, and Pisgah would have been up behind where they were camping, and it would have been further west of them, if I got all this right, you know, from trying to get it in my mind and seeing this from being over there. And then they've got to cross this thing, it would be east behind them, and then going in a westerly direction to cross the Jordan River and go into Jericho. Look here, verse 2. It says, and it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. What did they go through the host for? To the people. Verse 3. They commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and do what? Go after it. Have you seen the ark of the covenant lately in type and shadow? Have you seen into the Spirit and the Holy Ghost been calling you? Well, if you see it, do what? Get out of bed. But it's not good enough to get out of bed. Get up and do what? Go after it. Verse 4. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure, and come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way heretofore. So what's he saying? Just don't go out there and go helter-skelter. Be led, the way it ties into the New Testament, be led by the Spirit of God. Just don't say, well, I'm going and go. No, be led in everything you do. Because he said here, he said there should be a space between you and it. Why? Where they could see it. Where they would know which way to go. Don't get right up on it and not know which way to turn and just go helter-skelter out there and marching across. And notice here, latter part of this verse, for you have not passed this way heretofore. Ladies and gentlemen, this journey that we're making, this crossover that we're making now, we haven't been this way before. The church hasn't been this way before, but we're going. Verse 5, Joshua said, and this is Joshua speaking, not his commanders. Joshua speaks, and he said to the people, do what? Sanctify yourself. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. What's he talking about when he says sanctify yourself? He's telling us in the New Testament to develop the character of God. Because if you're going to cross over this Jordan and you're going to go in the power of the Spirit, the character of God is the most important thing that you can have in your life. Sanctify yourself, develop the character of God. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day I will begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that God's going to magnify his people in this day. And let the people of the world and the church, the naysayers, know that God is with us, just like he was with the saints of the past. He's with us. Why? Because we're going to obey him and we're going to do what he said in the name of Jesus. And they done exactly what he said do. He told them to stand still and how God was going to drive out the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Jebusites, all of them. He's going to drive out the enemy. And he told them the water is going to part. And it says, verse 15, and they that bear the ark were coming to Jordan. And the feet of the priest, they had to walk by faith, that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water. So they put their toes and their feet in it. For Jordan overflowed all his banks at the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood up and rose upon a heap very far from the city Adam that is beside Zeretan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priest that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. I'm here to tell you, we're going over. In type and shadow, we're going over Jordan. You're at a crossroads. The church is at a crossroads. We're at a place right now that decisions are being made. And God has drawn a line. There's a Jericho, so to speak, in the sand. And he's saying, if you're going with me, get up and let's go on. If we're going on into the promised land, it's time to move on right now. In the name of Jesus, it's not time to hold back. It's not time to draw back, but it's time to get up. Has anybody saw over there into the promised land? Has anybody over here saw it? Have you seen it? Has God showed you some of these things in the spirit? Have you seen it coming? Has there been a hunger for you? Well, I'm here to tell you, we're stepping over there. How do you know? The Spirit of God says so. He said to me, standing right here, you're going to cross over. This night is going to be a crossing over night for you. And you're going to leave the other side of Jordan. And you're going to go through those waters, so to speak. And you're going to arise safely on the other side. All of us are going. And a lot of these weights that have been holding you back and things that have been keeping you out and this oppression that's been coming on you, we're going to leave it behind and we're going on in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so don't give up and don't lose heart and don't faint in this day. Get up and go in God's way, because we're crossing over this Jordan that God has called us to cross over to the promised land in the Spirit. Yes, I know this is a physical, natural story that we're talking about, but it has a spiritual analogy for us here tonight. And we're crossing over. We're crossing over. We're crossing over. Let's stand to our feet and raise our hands. We're crossing over. Begin to praise God.